Denny Long taking a couple of weeks off. He'll be back later in July. Steve Thompson in with Chris Rooney and Andy Prasky. And once again, remember their website, andyandrooney.com. That's andyandrooney.com. Once again, without further ado, here's Chris and Andy.
All right. Well, what do you think, Andy?
Well,
this week, I mean, July 4th is always has always been a slow time.
Yeah.
What do you? How did it go?
Well, you know, this week, actually, the beginning of the week, I worked, so I was plenty busy the first 3 days, and then I have been on a pontoon since, so.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good. That, I've been working the whole time, so just so you know.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
You and no fireworks? Come on.
Yeah. No, I watched the fireworks. Actually, I got to see them in Prior Lake, so it was
You seem
good.
Like the kind of guy that would have his own fireworks show, though.
I do sponsor the fireworks show. You're right.
There was a little hesitation, so we obviously need to call the see if you have a permit for those.
Yeah. We also have Noelle Nielsen.
Yeah.
Sometimes known as Nicole, right? Noelle Nielsen with Bright Birch Real Estate. Yeah. And like I said, we like to bring in other people, get different perspectives. But the other thing that we wanted to do is a lot of people don't think from a realtor standpoint what our job is. And I always kind of laugh because I think we get more calls about all the other things than we do actually about real estate.
Yeah.
You know, it's hey, who can do this? Who can fix this? Hey, you got this guy. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of being in tune with the community and knowing what's happening out there.
That's so, right. You got to be the mayor of your community in a way.
You do. Yeah. So how about be the, what should we say, the cruise director here? And we're going to help people with what's happening.
I like cruises.
Yeah. What's happening in and around the metro area in July?
All right. Well, so one of the things, when we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, one of the things that I wanted to highlight is how many events are actually happening around us in the Twin Cities. Yes, we just had the 4th of July, but we've got a whole lot of other things to look forward to. Things in the Twin Cities tend to pick up for the second half of the summer. And so if you're a family that's looking to move and trying to get a feel for that community, I'd highly recommend going online, looking to see what kind of community events that they might have in that community and attend it. Go see, get a feel for the community, the flavor of the community.
Well, I think we find too, typically around the 4th of July, that the market does slow down, but it also has to do with things kick up in high gear over the summer, you know, and I think it was used to, Andy, me and you were kind of going back and forth on this last week about, hey, we got to get them in before the kids get to school.
Right.
And I just see more so that people are buying when they have to buy. It's great to be able to get into school, especially if you're going from, you know, a community that's far away. I think a lot of people end up driving their kids to school and they start taking in all of these events instead and start live in the summer. Yep. And then all of a sudden we start getting towards August and they're kind of tired out. And now they start looking again.
No doubt, guys. There's what I would say, the pressure is kind of off of people, you know, out there hunting for houses this time of year because of all the distractions. But, you know, as a seller, we've said this before, it's not a bad strategy to hit the market when everybody else is distracted because there's less competition. So in my opinion, it is not a bad time of the year to throw your house out there for sale because the serious buyers are still looking. The, hey, if I found the right property or, hey, if I get the right price, I'll sell. Those are the medium level, you know, kind of clients that are out there. If you, the intense ones are out there, the ones that want to find that house. And there's a lot of people, Chris, right now. And Noel, I'm sure you experienced South Metro too, where the buyers are upgrading. And I'm seeing a lot of where with interest rates as low as they are, there's a lot of inner city moving within the same communities. And so they can still experience the same schools. They're looking for that upgrade. And so some cities don't offer that. You know, some cities are completely maxed out. And so then you're looking at renovated houses or you're looking at teardowns or whatever. But it's, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going on out there in real estate right now, I see.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, we say it typically slows down. Historically, it does. I haven't seen that. I've actually seen it ramp up towards the 4th. And obviously, people are doing their thing now. But it used to be, like I said, it was a couple weeks or a 3 week kind of doldrum area.
Yeah.
But I don't think I see that this time. Noelle, how about your hot picks?
Our hot picks for going around town?
Yeah. Which are they?
Well, starting tomorrow, there's a color run up by the state fair, which I know you guys know the state fair.
Being athletes. I mean, you mean the state fair eating part.
Did you win that coloring contest? Remember they used to have those you had to do that turkey?
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Last year was the last time I was actually on the show with you guys at the state fair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So we have that to look forward to again this year.
Yeah.
Then, moving on, we've got the Basilica Block Party right here in Minneapolis.
That's my brother Matt's favorites. He lives right over there in that Kenwood area, and that's just a blast.
That's July 12th and 13th, and if you're looking to move into Minneapolis, that'll give you a really good feel of old school event in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
If you want to head down to my side of town in Burnsville, we actually have quite a few things on there, but one thing that people don't think about is we've got a theater down there. We've got the Ames Theater right there in the heart of the city in Burnsville. It's maybe a lesser expensive option for people that like to go to the theater. They like to go watch shows. They should definitely consider coming down to Burnsville. Come on down.
Y'all.
South side of the river. You can make it down there and check out the Ames Theater. July 9th through 11th, for example, they've got an Ole and Lena show, which that may play to some of the people around here.
Now that's kind of, I mean, that downtown Burnsville, I mean, Burnsville's average is a very big town, but that's kind of in that Nicollet Burnsville Parkway.
Yes.
Off 13
and
Burnsville
it's been
Parkway.
Renovated down there. It's beautiful.
It really is.
We've got kind of a water feature, and it's truly the heart of the city, and it's just a neat thing to experience. There's also music in the park on Thursday nights, so there's a lot of activity down.
Which park do you know, or is that?
It's in the heart of the city.
That park.
It's right where it is.
Park.
Yes.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
All right,
it is a lifestyle down there. I actually have people. Empty nesters we're full of empty nesters in Burnsville. So we've got a lot of people that are moving out of their, you know, bigger homes and downsizing. And so they're moving toward condos and townhomes and all of that right there by the heart of the city. There's a lot of that down there.
It is. It's transformed a lot down there. They've done what is it? That's Jensen's?
Jensen's.
Little breakfast place?
Yeah. Mm. We've eaten there a few times, place. Chris.
Yeah, I know.
What's your favorite little coffee shop that you like to go to, Noelle?
I've got two of them. Yep, okay. They're competitors. We've got JoJo's Rise and Wine, which is a coffee shop, but it's also a beer and wine shop in the evenings, and you can get little wood-fired
pizzas.
I thought
it was just for complainers, you know, the...
Yeah, right. The whiners. Uh-huh. And
sorry,
then,
that's a dad joke. I've been told I did too many of those over before.
That's impressive.
You're like, easy, dad. Yeah.
There's another one called The Buzz that we've been going to. They are specializing in making really neat waffles. They do really, like, artistic waffles. You can get, they've got over 200 kinds of waffles on their menu.
Wow.
And now they actually just opened up a second location in Plymouth. So if you're on the west side of the cities, you should go check them out. Small little father-daughter run business. It's
cool.
It's awesome.
You know what? When we're talking about this, and it's not, hey, we're talking about all these little places that we visit and stuff, but truly, that is a lifestyle that people are looking for. I mean, you know, you talked about, you know, being in Burnsville and they're building condos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go down to the main floor, you walk out, you go to a concert, you got little coffee shops and stuff like that. And I think those are the kind of things that, I mean, from an agent standpoint, that we need to know.
Yeah.
To be able to help people, you know, and identify what they're looking for. I always sit down with clients at the beginning and find out what their wants and needs are. And we can't push them to one direction, but at least we can give them the options then.
Well, it's part of the experience. And I think when people are coming to us as agents, they're looking for an actual local area expert.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do need to be aware of what new businesses are coming up and what's making them so great and what those communities do have to offer for the people living within the community and get back to that established community feel.
Yeah, we were just helping a family up in Champlin Market, and they were talking about that. I was kind of bragging about Andrews Park and how nice the city was with Father Hennepin Days. And I said we did a sponsorship package where they put up our nice little billboard out on the softball field at Andrews. And the client of mine says, well, that's really cool. But he goes, you know what's better than that? Andrews Park has its own little like splash pool that's free. And they serve beer at the softball fields, you know, on tap, like a restaurant style in the park. And he's that's one of the reasons why they moved up there. They love the park system up in Champlin. So, you know, it's interesting how different people are interested in different things, but that's the cool part about being specialized.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and more on the next segment.
Chris and Andy are in studio today. It is the Real Estate Show. And, of course, for more and previous shows, go to WCCORadio.com. We'll continue with the guys in a moment here on the CCO. It is the Real Estate Show, Saturday mornings between 10 and 11. Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, as always. And, of course, you can find information about the show and previous shows at our website, WCCORadio.com. And, oh, by the way, their website, AndyAndRooney.com, here on the CCO.
All right. Well, who is this lady? It's Noelle Nielsen. She's with Bright Birch Real Estate. She is the broker. Actually, we've done a lot of collaborative projects together. Noelle does a ton of video work, trying to create that whole lifestyle thing that we're talking about
the
time.
Yeah.
So you guys are obviously, I mean, you've been talking about Burnsville a lot.
Yep.
I have a feeling your office might be somewhere over
we
there.
We are in Burnsville. I am a huge believer of being rooted in the community that you are trying to live, work, and sell in. Now, we will sell around the entire Twin Cities, definitely, and we've got teammates and agents placed around the Twin Cities, so we'll sell wherever. But personally, I really do focus a lot on the south of the river clients around Burnsville, Lakeville, Apple Valley, Egan. I've been kind of coming into your neck of the woods lately,
like
Chris, Prior Lake. So, and we do. We collaborate a lot. And when you get to know the agents that are selling in that area, it makes it a lot easier and smoother of a transaction as well.
Yeah. So. And I think that's interesting when you're saying that, because we were talking about something before. I can't remember what it was, but I wrote a note that you're talking about, hey, an area expert, and that you need to know that. I wanted to ask you both about this because I think there's some real validity to this, is that area expert versus someone else coming into that market to give it a different perspective.
Yeah.
Because I find ourselves, I mean, obviously with the radio show, Andy, we find ourselves going all around the metro area.
For sure.
You know, and now obviously, hopefully people think we know what we're talking about. We know how to market and stuff like that. But then it's sometimes getting used to that market. I use Andy a lot in different areas. I'm sure you have different people, Noel, that, you know, you kind of throw it off of them and say, hey, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes coming into a market with a totally different perspective, rather than it's kind of like, you know, I know a certain area, and it's kind of like, oh, that area only will get you this.
Right.
And, you know, that I know it because I know it inside and out. But maybe someone comes into that area and gives it a fresh new feel.
I'll give you a perfect example. Sorry to, you know, jump in. But I had this happen where we were up north where there's two dominant real estate agents that dominate this particular lake. And these people were like, listen, they keep telling me my house is only going to sell for $325,000. And I go up there and say, I think it's worth $400,000. They go, these guys will not list my house unless I do it at $325,000. We listed at $400,000, had multiple offers at $400,000. So I'm telling you, there are times where these pockets are such niche markets that, yes, it is okay to bring fresh blood in to give you new marketing, new approach. Now, the caveat to that
as long as they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. You know, but the caveat to that is that you come in and now you're the new guy and they won't show your house because of it. Or the other agents won't cooperate because you're not from that area. And so that's not to the benefit of their clients, but I've seen that also.
I think
it's a little
interesting too when you talk about a lake, you know, and maybe you were looking at it like, you know what? Hey, if you're over on this lake, you're going to pay $450,000 for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, if you drive just a little bit, you'll get this one for $400,000. But the other people over there are thinking, geez, hey, I'm just concentrating out here on this lake and what's happened
right
now, but they might not know what's happening kind of on the other side of the Twin Cities.
Right. Well, if you want to be on the same lake with your sister, for an example, and then you're looking just in that lake, I mean, then you obviously have, you know, a limited audience
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's two different perspectives there, too, because you were coming into that situation as the listing agent. As a buyer's agent, if you are going to take a buyer around and show them properties, you really do want to make sure that you're highly educated as to advise them if something is listed at the right price and what the schools are like and what community it is that they're moving into.
Well, that's like our referral partners up in Brainerd. I mean, these guys, summer or winter, will know, like, hey, the west side of that lake is nice, rocky, sandy shoreline. or that side of the lake is mucky, yucky, and there's weeds that grow up 6 feet high. So there's, you know, that's where that local expertise, even hyper local, where they actually know each lake individually. That's where you and I always refer out. Yeah.
Hopefully you don't mind me putting you on the spot here, but why did you think it was, he's like, why, when they were saying it's 325, why did you think it was 400,000?
I think it's a lot of my new construction background, knowing what things cost and then knowing what the land, just an outsider's opinion. I looked at what raw land was selling for. I knew what that house was just built for. And so that's where I went in and said, we're leaving money on the table by not trying. And so I'm always one. I'm a fan for the seller anyway. So I'm always trying to get, you know, push the market a little bit, because that's my job. I mean, in my opinion, is to push the market for these people and then bring creative marketing that can get people to convince them that that's what it should go for.
Well, and I think that's it. To me, I mean, you can also make a huge mistake at some points by listing houses too much. I've ran into that quite a bit where people all of a sudden, I mean, yours totally worked and your theory was right. But I mean, just from someone coming in and saying, hey, you should go at 400 versus 325 and not having that, what you were saying.
I think here's the difference though, Chris. There's somebody that might be coming in that situation, an agent that would be trying to buy the business, as they say. Tell the seller what they're looking to hear and saying, yes, I can do that. And then they can't, knowing that eventually it's a strategy for a salesperson and they lower the price and hope, cross their fingers that it sells because they don't have a lot going on. I'm actually busy. I have a lot of things going on. And so I selected and I said, yeah, I'll partner with you guys on this property, but here's what it's worth. If they would have said, hey, let's try to get 550, I would have also argued and said, it's not there.
Right.
But I feel that it was my job to come in there as an outside fresh. That's how the whole conversation started, as a fresh set of eyeballs looking at, you know, a different marketplace. Yeah. And that's what we brought.
And what I'm trying to say is that if you come in and someone from the outside comes in and they just use prices, hey, we can get this, and they haven't been around that area,
right,
that's a lot different than coming in and saying, hey, here's the reason why, and this is the reason I believe, and this is how the way I'm going to market to be able to get it. Because facts are that if you list things too high and it sits for a while, all of a sudden, I'm just getting into a listing like this right now, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing wrong with this house except for they priced it way too high at the beginning.
Right.
And now it's been on a year on the market. And now people are saying, what the heck is wrong with this place?
Yep.
And so now we have to change something. And if we don't change something, nothing changes. You know, we can sit and reduce the price all we want, and that's the easy way to do it. But how about repositioning that home in the market and kind of bringing a different perspective to it?
Yeah. Well, when a house is sat on for too long, it gives a perception to the buyer online, because that's where they're all first finding these homes, but it gives a perception of the buyer that something is actually wrong with the house. Because buyers aren't thinking that we've mispriced the homes usually.
Right.
They're looking at it like there's something wrong with the house. So if you do come in or need fresh eyes on there, you do need to give it a whole new game plan with marketing and give a whole new story behind that home so that it
and give the buyer justification for why they're going to buy it. Because no one else wanted it. And
that's
so it's kind of like, hey, you know what? This was perceived to be wrong, you know, and we fixed it. And then that gives it in their mind. They're like, oh my gosh, that's the only reason. Now look at the great deal I'm getting.
Well, or this too, you know, the agent that takes the idea that, like we were doing, is going to a different pool of buyers that's out there. We were actually taking that and advertising to a different audience than the same pool that old school. This is what our market will pay. Well, I went to a different market, brought a buyer in from the outside that actually, you know.
Yeah, you're telling a different story around the home and giving the buyer an idea of what it's going to be like to have a lifestyle in that house.
Agreed.
And that it's a lot better deal than maybe they would have been. And maybe that person, I don't know what the buyer ended up being, but maybe that was a cabin for them. You know, I mean, that's in the price range of a cabin for a lot of people, or a second home.
Right.
You know, it's probably not too far out of the metro.
Right.
And it's like, hey, you can have this rather than driving 3 more hours up north.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Andy, you're super smart.
I do a great job.
The smartest.
The smarterest.
He's one of them. Yeah. He's good. But yeah, no, it is interesting. I think, because I think from a seller perspective, and I really liked when you said about the buyer perspective, Noel, that you got to kind of really know the nuances and the ins and outs of it. But from on the seller side of it, that you just got to watch for that. You know, if someone comes in from, you know, hey, I'm from Prior Lake, but I'm going up to Elk River, you know, to be able to go look at something. If I bring a fresh perspective versus, hey, I just want a listing and we'll just kind of throw the price out there and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess we don't have to go to break yet. So we'll keep talking.
Let's talk about that a little bit. We can talk. I want to segue back. So from the buyer's perspective, keep an eye on what's happening in the community. And if new things are popping up, like we're seeing all these new breweries pop up around the Twin Cities, and it's creating a new kind of lifestyle around a lot of these communities. So, for example, Lakeville, we've got some new breweries coming out there, and we've got Panaprog starting. Actually, it just started on July 4th, but it's going to be going through the 14th. And they've got a brewery special going on during Panaprog because of all the new breweries. And it's definitely a lifestyle, just like when you think of Napa or Sonoma. We've kind of got that going on right now in the Twin Cities with our little local breweries.
Yeah, so we got more events coming up, and me and Andy can argue some more after the break.
All right, Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky, and guest Noelle Nielsen joining us today on the Real Estate Show here on the CCO. Thanks so much for joining us. It is the Real Estate Show. Steve Thompson in for Denny Long for the next couple of weeks. Denny returns later in July. Chris Rooney, Andy Prasky, and guest Noelle Nielsen.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Noelle, why don't we hit on a few more of those dates before we get into a couple more topics?
Well, we kind of ended talking about breweries, but there's another beer fest coming up this summer for people that really enjoy a brew.
Common theme there.
Uh-huh. The Twin Cities Bacon and Beer Classic is going to be happening on the CHS field. And if you've never been to the CHS field,
it's fun.
It's pretty fun. But it's going to be July 20th. Mm. So people should kind of keep an eye out for that, because then they can go and experience all of these different little craft breweries coming in from all around town.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of them too, and they're great. I know a bunch of my buddies. That's a great way to fill a Saturday. You get, you know, your group of guys and gals together and start doing the brewery tours. And, you know, obviously I have one safe driver, and everybody else has a lot of fun. And
honestly, in
I get
some
invited
of these,
a lot to those because of my driving skills.
So. In some of these new developments that are happening, where it's maybe a group of people that enjoy drinking beer out on their driveways. Yeah. I know you see it happening up in your neck of the woods, but it's a thing. And so all of these people, they'll get together in their little neighborhoods because they become friends in these newer communities, and they will get a bus, and they'll bus in to the cities or wherever and go to these breweries together.
Yeah. Well, that is something that's interesting about new developments, is that you all have something in common. You built a new house, you've been through a similar experience, and it creates a natural bond amongst the neighborhood.
Right.
Neighbors. And it's kind of fun. And I always say capitalize on that energy on the front end, because sometimes when you move into an existing neighborhood, you don't have that same similarities. And so it's a little harder to crack the shell of the neighborhood and kind of get into the, you know, versus the new construction. Everybody, hey, I'll show you my house. Let's see your house, you know. And
it's funny. My third house, we actually I represented a builder, and I sold a bunch of them in there. And I'm like, well, I'm going to build too. So we built my house and everything. And
did they boo you out of town? Or?
They didn't. No. I mean, it was unusual. I know. But the problem was I'd come in to the neighborhood and I wouldn't get to my house for about 2 hours. I mean, every time I would do it. So then I'd like wait for nighttime, just go right into my garage and go up to my house because you see everyone out. And so you have to talk to everyone.
Just throw some beer cans out the window of your car and let them chase.
We should have had a brewery back then.
Because everybody's sitting outside of their garage. But what happens if they don't have a garage?
Yeah.
Have you heard about these places
You should say that. Yeah. You know what? There's actually out in California, they've been builders are going to this route and saying, hey, this stuff is coming out. But and I was thinking about it, I'm like, no, there's no way. But they were saying that they're building all these houses, big houses with like one car garages.
I just think the value here, if you tried to do that, would go.
I know.
Way
and
down.
Slab on grade, you know, so both of those things here. I mean, Andy, I know you remember you talking about it, saying, hey, if we
can hear me roll my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Normal. Yeah. But that, hey, if we got a twin home and if we could get a 3-car garage on that, we could sell it all day long.
3-car. God, most of my customers now are doing 4-to-6-car garages.
Yeah.
I mean, on the bigger 2 stories, you know, that are out there.
I was just talking about a twin home. You're not listening. So a smaller, if the people are downsizing or whatever.
I lost interest when you said California, but everything else has been a blank since then. But
well, Chris, think about, Chris and I are actually working on a new build together right now. And I had this buyer that was needing a certain style of home. We could not find it anywhere in the Twin Cities. So she decided to build. And she doesn't need a big garage. But when she and I were talking about what exactly she's going to end up having to resell at some point, most people here in Minnesota, they use that third stall, whether it's for a car mm-hmm. or for all of their winter junk that then sits yeah. or and summer junk. Like we have two different sets of junk here.
Right. Winter junk. You have snowblowers, you have shovels, you have all that. I mean, you need a place for that. And so I agree that different lifestyles and different, you know, weather patterns obviously require different equipment. Now, if you have somebody maintaining your place, obviously you're not required to have all that equipment, which would be a double savings, I suppose you could say. But, you know, I was thinking of when you started talking about, like, going back to, like, the old, I don't know if you remember, the old Orrin Thompson from way back when they used to build those 900-square-foot ramblers all over the place, and they'd have, like, these huge seas of ramblers being built. And there was, that was, most of them did not have garages at the time. That was an option that most people would either add themselves later, and it was an opportunity to build equity. And I actually see a need for that housing again. I mean, that not necessarily that style, but to have housing that's affordable that people can build equity in, and mm-hmm. you know, and having that optional 1.5-story upstairs, or having the ability to add value, you know, and then you build that equity, because it's amazing how many people's net worth is what they have in their house, and that. You know, if you don't you set yourself up to fail, this would be a better opportunity to set yourself up to succeed, I think.
Well, and so then take that buyer that I just described. If you flip that upside down on its head, I've had a millennial couple that I've been showing, and they really don't care if there's a garage, one garage, two garages. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the garage at all, because they are now used to this lifestyle of, nope, we bus it into town.
It's interesting, though. So what area?
This is the first time I've experienced that. That was actually down in Burnsville. It's mm-hmm. common up here in Minneapolis to have that happen. But now these millennials, they're moving outside of the Twin Cities metro. They're going out into the suburbs, but they have already grown accustomed to the fact that they don't have to have a car. Mm-hmm. If they're close enough to the bus station, they can bike down to the bus station, and the bus will take them right into town from Burnsville even.
I think that what's interesting about mm-hmm. that is that what they can get in Burnsville versus what they can get down in Minneapolis
Come on
is
down
a big
to Burnsville.
Difference. But you know what? But they also, I mean, Burnsville has created, you know, the park that we talked about.
Yeah.
But there is bus stations right there. There is biking. There is walking. You know, and that's what they're looking for. They still want that, but they're like, people justify. And then it's kind of like, gosh, you know what? If we go down here, it's probably $100,000 less. We can always jump
that's
on
right.
the bus and get downtown.
There was a bunch of apps. I had a buyer a couple of years back here that did the same thing up in Anoka. And she said, hey, I've got my job in Anoka. Want to walk to work. Want to be able to go to dinner, walk home, have a bike if I want to go for exercise. But I don't want to have to rely on a car. And that was the first time I really in the Twin Cities market. I'm a suburban, mostly sales, you know, person. And so I haven't had anybody approach me with that need before. And there are cities that can allow that. But most suburbs are designed to be spread out, that forces you to drive. You know what I mean? It's like you have to drive to Costco. You have to drive to this place. And all of a sudden you have all these errands to run versus just walking down to the local corner and picking up everything you need for the day and walking upstairs.
That's right. So,
well, you can get all that stuff delivered to you now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at it and so, okay, that one-car garage and, I mean, that car, because mm-hmm. I think that's what people do is they start thinking, I mean, we all want our own car. We all want to be able to go at any time.
Yeah.
But you start going into that living, maybe it is going down to just one car.
I'm telling you, Chris, there's
Ubers,
you guys have kids my age kind of too. And so a lot of the high school kids that don't. Okay,
I don't.
You got little
yet.
Babies. That's true. Yes, that's true. But I mean, when our age kids, there's some of these, you know, kids aren't getting their license till they're 18, and they're only getting their license because they have to go off to college, and they just don't care. And I'm like, I was sitting at the testing center, like, to the minute I turned 16 to get my license. I wanted to have that car. I wanted that freedom of the road. And see, to me, that's just one of those things that I'd have a hard time giving up.
I want to dive more into that. One more break. We're coming back.
And, of course, Chris and Andy and guest Noelle Nielsen today on the Real Estate Show here on the CCO. 10:50 now, 10 before 11, the Real Estate Show with Chris Rooney and Andy Prasky on the air Saturday between 10 and 11 a.m. And guest Noelle Nielsen. Once again, here's Chris and Andy.
All right, we're back. You know, we're talking about all that storage issues that we have here in Minnesota, and just not thinking the one-car garages are going to happen super soon here.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't either. You're talking to one of the three of us here that I'm having my floor re-epoxied a cool color with metal flakes in it. And
Andy lives in
signs.
His garage.
I've got my walls are all different colors. It's awesome. And it's a space, though.
It's more than just a garage.
Yeah, like we've had parties out there, and you know, in the wintertime, it's heated, it's warm out there, it's nice, the floor's coated nice. You feel like it's part of the house.
But here in Minnesota, it's not super realistic if you are going to take advantage of the primary thing that we have to offer here, which are lakes. I actually just recently read this stat the other day that we have in Minnesota more lakeshore than more shoreline than all of California, Florida, and Hawaii combined.
Wow.
So think about that. We've got a lot of lake life here in Minnesota.
Wish it wasn't frozen for 4 months.
Yeah, well, some people enjoy that.
That's changing.
Some people enjoy that piece of it as well with their fish houses and ice fishing stuff.
That's a lifestyle too. I mean, Prior Lake, for instance, has fish houses all over it. And by the way, you didn't mention next Friday and Saturday. Music Fest. Brad Paisley's coming to town.
Yes.
I mean, that thing is huge. Bring your lawn chairs and whatever. And it's a two-night event, and tickets for both nights. I think it's Steve Miller Band on Friday, and then on Saturday it's the Brad Paisley is the headliner.
Do people just camp out the whole time?
No, you can't. This is not not up to, at Detroit Lakes, but
this isn't a
come and go. Yeah, this is not Champlin, that's for sure.
Well, and you also out there have Lakefront Days, which is August 19th.
That's in August. Yep. Yeah, it goes good. So, and obviously there's a ton of stuff on the west side to be able to enjoy. I mean, you're talking about, what was that on Thursdays? Is that in Burnsville that they have music? I know on Wednesdays they do a downtown Excelsior.
Yeah, Music in the Park.
Yeah.
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 Yep, we talked about that and, you know. We do also have Burnsville Fire Muster in the fall, every fall that comes up. Have you ever been there?
No.
For that? This is one of the coolest things you'll have ever experienced. And if you have little kids, you should put this on your calendar. It's September 4th through 7th, the Burnsville Fire Muster. Mm. All of these vintage fire trucks from all over the states, they come into Burnsville and they have a fire truck parade. And you can see every different style of fire truck there has ever been. It's so cool. It's really awesome.
I'd actually enjoy that.
Yeah, you probably would.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would enjoy it, Andy.
Yeah, I think for kids, too.
You have to bring ear protection, though, because it's super loud.
The horns and stuff get super loud. All right, so let's talk about predictions for the second half of the year, Mr. Prasky.
I think with rates dropping, we're going to see a nice pressure put back onto people getting on the marketplace and moving. I think there's a lot of people that were nervous that they didn't have a place to go, so there was a lot of like hesitation in the empty nester market. I think the empty nesters now are starting to get comfortable with moving again, and there's a lot of alternatives.
Like six-car garages.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you laugh all you want, but I'll tell you what. Design a detached townhouse with a three-car garage, you will not be able to keep
totally
up with
agree.
Building
not
it.
I totally agree. Not the six-car garage.
Yeah, that's you need a I'm spot saying. For the Lund in the back of the garage or maybe a wood shop or whatever. I mean, hey, we all have hobbies, and if you don't have hobbies, who wants to be retired? I mean, what's the point? I mean, keep working.
And I think people would be fine with the slabs if they had a bigger garage. Because it's all about storage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want that one level living, but they have to end up sometimes getting a basement because they have nowhere to store everything.
I had a guy that I used to work with years ago. He's retired now, but he was building those detached townhouses up in St. Cloud, Mankato, and they were talking about what was holding people back from buying these slab on grades. Number one was they wanted a storm room. They love the efficiencies of the slab and the easy to get around, but they wanted a storm room of some kind built into the house, and they wanted the third stall garage. And so they started facing the detached townhouses and doing a shared driveway between two units that would go up, and then the garages were put in the back. So then they could load the garages. Cool. It was sweet. And it was like they sold a ton of them. And then since then, they haven't done, you know, they retired. But, I mean, I'd love to bring that plan back to life.
We're talking about Noel's client that's building, too.
Yeah.
I think it's also important when you're building and say you don't want that big garage, but yet someone might want that in the future.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, prepare it for maybe there's a secondary garage that you could maybe add on to the existing or have it in a spot. So by where you position the house, you can create that that opportunity for a second garage. So when it comes back time to market it in 10, 15 mm-hmm. years, yep. you could be able to say, hey, you could add on a huge garage.
Right. Well, I've even had people talking about, not to keep talking garages, but new construction-wise, we even have a couple of our customers right now building what I call RV garages, where we have the full 16-foot high doors off to the side, and the garage is actually 50 feet deep.
I was just
going
to say, they'll let
that
in the development?
It depends on these are acreage.
Okay.
And
okay.
so then you literally can pull your motorhome, fifth wheel, whatever you have, right into the garage. The door shuts. It's clean. It's out of the sun. I'm like, what a awesome setup.
And the other thing is like for Covenants, because usually you don't get that because of the appeal mm-hmm. of it, but being on an acreage thing, you always see those RVs parked outside.
Yeah.
It's much better that it's inside mm-hmm. for the rest of the neighbors and to be able to have that.
Well, the UV is what kills those, all the seams and all the glues and all the things on the top, adhesives that are used. So taking 6 months out of the year where it can be inside is probably a way to lengthen the life of that device.
Have you guys ever had an RV?
I have not.
I've had two of them, and they turned into tailgating vehicles.
Yeah.
I've had a scamp. That's about it.
What is that?
That's one of those little campers, right? They're just the right size for one person, maybe two.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We don't fit in normal size people's stuff, so.
Everyone's like, gosh, you go camping? And I said, no, I drive my RV to, like, the hotel.
Yeah.
And then we stay in the hotel. And they're like, what are you doing?
Yes. When I was a kid, I had one of those Tonka toys where they had it was a Winnebago Brave, the 1970s.
Oh, yeah.
And they're square flat fronts, And I've had this, pipe dream in the back of my head, someday I'm going to buy one of those. And now they kind of came back with a version of that where it has the flat front again. And I was looking at my wife, and she goes, you're not buying one of those. So that was fun.
I mean, those things are decked out now. I mean, for offices, people are doing mobile offices in these and pulling up to the lakes and just setting up camp. And mm-hmm. they got all their
It's like a tiny house on wheels.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like mobile offices. I had that idea a while back, is to be able to get this nice van, this conversion van, mm-hmm. where I'd have an area to be able to sign the purchase agreements. We'd have the videos for the kids and stuff like that. And then I was like,
you just realized it was too creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I was going to do the ice cream truck out of it.
Free ice cream. Just buy a house.
Right. So how we get a hold of us? You can go to Andy and Room.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Andy's got his own website. I got my own website. You'll actually find Noelle there as well. But Noelle, why don't you tell them how to get a hold of you?
You can go to brightbirchlikethetree.com, or you can just find me on Facebook. I'm not that hard to find. Noelle the Minnesotan.
Yeah, you'll see some interesting videos.
You will see a lot of videos.
A lot of videos.
Like the one we just put out of Realtor Boy and his fireworks safety tips.
Oh, that's funny. We do have a Realtor Boy, and I know we have to go, but check her out on Facebook. You'll love the Realtor Boy segments.
I agree.
All right, there's Andy, there's Chris, and by the way, you can find Chris Rooney and Andy Prasky at their joint website, andyandrooney.com, andyandrooney.com. And, of course, it's a real estate show Saturdays between 10 and 11 o'clock here on CCO.